Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Sales Success with Lixie, where we are passionate about helping you transform the sales in your business so you can stress less and earn more. Today, we are joined by Kelly Watts, who is a business mentor helping stock coaches build their dream business by marketing to and attracting dream clients using strategies that work. And we are going to be talking all about how to deal with competition in your industry. So let's get into it.
Kelly, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
My name's Kelly. I am a coach that helps business owners who know how to coach, but they don't know how to grow a business, know what the fuck to do basically, and smash their business so they can leave their soul-sucking 9 to 5 and live their reality.
I love that. And I think that's what you did, wasn't it? Was you started a business by yourself, all of the struggles and uphill battles that you had, and now you help other entrepreneurs to build their business by not having those same struggles that you went through.
Yes. So when I started, I didn't have a clue because I had no background in business. I just knew I wanted to leave the 9 to 5. It wasn't driving me. I just knew it wasn't my passion anymore. I didn't want to work until I was 70, burnt out, no money, and just have a shit life, basically. I didn't want to be told I can only earn this much. I got to be on minimum wage the rest of my life, and I got to a point it wasn't serving me anymore. So I thought I gotta do something about it. I don't know what to do. I've been on this massive journey. I've had to go 10 steps backwards millions of times because I didn't know what the fuck to do, basically. So it's like you go somewhere and you've always got to go back to the steps you've missed. So I help new coaches, new business owners. They've got their qualification, they've got their coaching. They know how to coach, they're brilliant coaches. It's just showing them how to actually do the business side so they can live their passions, and also affordable as well. Because I find that, when you're starting out, there's a lot of high ticket prices around. And if I'd come across some of the things that I've started doing, I can't see why people should be limited because they can't earn that, they can't afford that money at the beginning. Like, I'm not everyone's ideal client because I was living off minimum wage. So, I'm no one's ideal client because on paper, which we're told to do, no one would have targeted me because I can't afford their services. If everyone's got a dream, if you're a mum, a dad, you've got a passion, everyone should be able to live this life that they dream of, and it shouldn't be restricted by all these high ticket offers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely something to take in. And I think on that note, looking at the market and what everyone else is doing is kind of what we're talking about today. So how do we deal with competition in the market? Because we're always going to get it. But I think there is a, especially in the coaching world, there's a lean towards like collaboration over competition, which I think is great. I think we should be collaborating with other business owners like you and I are doing right now. I think there is, you absolutely should be doing that in your business, but I don't think we should ignore the fact that you have competition. Like the amount of sales strategists, which is what I do, that there are in the business is ridiculous. And I definitely have competition. There's so many strategists that my clients could pick over me, and I need to be wary of that fact so that I am putting strategies in place to make sure that I've still got sales coming in, even though there are many other options to choose from.
So basically, a lot of so we're competitor analysis. A lot of people skip or don't know about doing this part. So when you start off, you need your niche, you need your market research, your ideal client, and then your goals and your strategies, and off you go, basically. But a lot of people like me, I didn't know anything about it, so I didn't do it at the beginning. So, but what I find with competitor analysis is it's great to work on yourself as well. So one of the first things when you start off your business, so it's SWOT, so your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. So your strengths and weaknesses are opposites of each other, and they're not business related. So they're your strengths, your weaknesses, and they're great then because when you're looking at competition, because like I said, there's so many of us, we need to be thinking, why are they buying from me and not all the other coaches out there? So that's where the competitor analysis comes into place. So then you do this SWOT analysis on them as well. And it's not just only that. When you're creating your offers, if 20 other people are doing the same thing as you, why should they buy from you? Why are you different to them? So that's where the competitor analysis comes into place to help pick apart those bits for you. It's really great to work on your pricing. It helps you align a lot more with your values as well. And it's also really good as a confidence boost, because we've all got limited, you know, those limited beliefs come in. We're comparing ourselves to the competitors. They'll do a post and you think, oh my God, they're so much better than me. And, you know, we can't help but not compare ourselves online. So it's also a great way of going in and then you're finding these gaps, and you might look at the website and think, oh, I don't like that. Oh, that doesn't stand up to me. Or that, you can tell they're not talking to that ideal client. That website might be all about the coach and not much about the ideal client. You might think, wow, that's extreme, those prices. Or you might think that, you know, that website, their stock images, they're this or that, it's just being thrown together. There's so much information you can get from it. But it's also the way of finding how you stand out. So, you know, that's our secret sauce. That's our story. So how is your story different? And why should they come to you? And that's why it's really, really important, because that's where you can find your views, your voice, and why should people come to you? So I'm relatable to parents. I built my coaching business in the car. I did it on the school run. So I'm relatable to working parents who are, to see, yes, there is a way out. Do you know what I mean? Some people have been that way. Some people haven't. Some people are fortunate that they could just do it without having to work, or their partner could support them. But my story is relatable because I did it on the run or hobbies. So that I'm shouting that out. That's why I'm different, because I'm human, and that's my secret sauce. That's why I stand out before, because it makes me more human and not like this top coach who looks clinical.
Yeah, absolutely. And also it shows that you are at the level that your clients need. Like, there are so many coaches that are earning millions of pounds or dollars, but it can sometimes feel like there's a huge disconnect between like them and us, because we're not at that level yet. And I think when you've got people like you and me who are really honest about the things that are going on in our lives, like, you're a busy parent, you built your business in your car, I live with four chronic pain conditions and got made redundant last year, so I took my business full-time unexpectedly. I think it's those stories that help our clients connect with us and make us seem more of like a friend as well as a coach. So it's someone that you can get along with. And I talked about this in my podcast episode last week, the like being authentic to you and who you are as a person, because the reason I gave last week was because it's exhausting pretending to be somebody else. But in this respect, it's so that your clients can connect with you, because if they know that you have been through the same struggles as them, or that you have the same personality traits, like anyone that is a fan of Taylor Swift, they and I are going to get on really well because I am obsessed with her. And it's those, sharing those sorts of things. Like, for you, it's the fact that you've got kids, like, you can connect with other parents because you can share stories of parenting struggles, and the kids are being annoying today, and I know what it's like to survive on no sleep and that kind of thing. And it's those stories that really help us connect with our clients and help them understand why we're the right person for them.
Yeah, and stories are definitely, like Evian says, facts tell, stories tell. You can educate Evian so you're blue in the face. It's all repetitive. It's all the same. It's just in one ear and the other now. It just sounds shit, basically, to put it bluntly. And that's why you need to look at your competitors and see where you can stand out, because Evian is saying the same things. And this is really important to say, how can I be different to them? How can I stand out? And stories are literally the next year you're going to, your business is going to work if you're sharing your story. Mm-hmm. Everything else is important. You need your stories, educational, your testimonials. But again, if you're new in business, you are your testimonial, and not enough people are sharing their journey because they're ashamed that, because they haven't got to that place yet, people aren't going to trust them. But if anything, you're taking them on this journey with you, and it is more trusting than anything to say, look, I'm human, I've done this, I've done these mistakes. That's why I come on and I'll say, I didn't have a fucking clue when I started, and I'll say it now because it's so relatable. I just had a passion and a drive and I wasn't giving up. So, you know, but we need these journeys to get us where we are. We need the mistakes. We always need to grow, basically. Yeah. We're never perfect. And although I do follow some of the big names, I just can't relate to them. I know they started off where we were, but because they've gone past that point now, and because You know, I'm newer to the coaching world. I haven't been in years and years like a lot of people. I'm trying to support now more people who are newer. Mm-hmm. I think we should be supporting each other, giving each other a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's good to aspire to be like those people. I think that's a good inspiration to have, but only if you're taking inspiration from it. If it's causing you to feel like you're doing shit in the position that you're in at the moment, then following people who are doing multi-millions of dollars probably isn't the right thing. But yeah, like you said, like we need to be wary of the place that we're in our own journey, and surround ourselves with people who are just slightly further ahead than us, so that we can aspire to be like them too. Yeah. So I'd love to just get your take on, when it comes to competitor analysis and looking at the other people in the market, like, where do we start? Like, what's, because there are so many other people, mm-hmm. like where's a good place for us to start?
So obviously this is really where we need our niche. Like I bang on about your niche all the time, because if you don't know it, it'll stop your ideal client, it'll stop your research, it'll stop everything. You just won't know what to say. So you need your niche, like, pinned right down. You know, you need that problem, who you help and why, the goal, the pain point, the problem. That'll solve everything. And then when we've got our niche, then that's when we start onto our research. So you'll know what your niche is straight away. So it could be sales, but obviously your niche sales is massive, it's very broad. So when you've narrowed down your niche, so you could be helping women go from 1 to 5K sales a month. So that's a nice narrow niche. So then you type, so SEO words are a great way to start. Type it into ChatGPT is a great way of giving you prompts of looking for areas where you can niche. So it'll help you find hashtags on Instagram. But again, you've got to find where your ideal client is hanging out, because that's where the competition should be as well. If they're not, great, you're already ahead of them, because you know where your clients are and they're not there. So the main one is where your clients are, and then analyzing. So look who's commenting, look on their profiles. So again, this is where we look at their niche, look at their messaging, look at their offers, look at their pricing, look how they talk. And then how, again, so you've got their omni services, how are they providing their services? So are they online? Are they through, are they doing offers? Are they doing a membership? Is it through their website? Do they do live coaching? So we look at all these different services, basically. And then you do a couple then as well. And then you find, you can't not spot a gap when you know what you're looking for. You can't not spot those gaps. And you come in and you fill those gaps. Mm-hmm. And obviously you do your research then to check that gap is there. And then that's your gap. And then you shout out, look, I'm here. No one else is here. I help you with this problem. I'm the only one here. And you own it, basically. You go and you take it. And you own. That's your corner of the internet. And then they are you're their competition then, if anyone comes in. But then you're building your community, your tribe. You're the go-to person in your niche. And that's the way that we need to be.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really important. I think doing research in your business, not just at the beginning, but the whole way through, I think is key. Mm-hmm. Success, because you change, your audience changes, what they want changes, so and what your competition is doing changes. So continuing to do that research all the way through, I think, is important. There was a couple of things that you touched on that I want to just call out, which was that you've said a couple of times understanding your ideal client is absolutely key, and I completely agree. I think the more you can step into the shoes of your ideal client, the easier running a business gets from every aspect, because you know what marketing you're going to be doing, you know how to sell to them, because you can fully understand the problem that they're having and how they want it fixed. And all of that stuff just becomes a lot easier if you can fully understand your ideal client. And then going out and doing the research into what's going on in your space, what are your competition doing, what's performing well, what are your ideal clients responding to, that sort of thing, so that you can incorporate those same things in your and your marketing and your sales strategy. And I saw someone post over the weekend actually about the looking for content that you're multiple people that you're competing with do, and seeing which one resonates most with your ideal client. So do they like watching reels? Is it reels that do well, or is it carousel posts or those sorts of things? And or are they only going to networking events and they're not actually consuming content? Like all of these little things, it's really key for you to understand.
Yeah, completely agree. And also with regards to like, you know, the idea of clients, sometimes we could get so confused and you've got to know like your cat's grandma, second cousin's favorite bag color. Do you know what I mean? You don't need that. Sometimes we can get so consumed with the idea of client. You need, you know, your husband, your favorite restaurants, all this, their shoe size. You don't. You just need basically more of those passions, those goals, those desires, those pain points. And the other thing as well, we've developed this world where we talk differently online. So we're very like, I'm trying to cut out a lot of jargon and I'm trying to talk more like me rather than a polished coach and stuff. So I'm just like, my grammar is awful. I don't care. I don't speak like that. So I've started a lot more my stories, my struggles, how I talk in the posts. I had a swear word because I swear, and that's me. And it sounds more like me rather than this person, this persona. Not that I was someone different online, but I was speaking in a way that I've never spoken. And now it's easier to write because I'm just writing how I would talk, basically. Yeah. It might not always grammatically make sense, but I don't give a shit.
That's the way you would say it if you were like, where we want to get to is if somebody reads one of your posts, they hear it in your voice because that's the way that they know that you talk. And I'm the same. Yeah. If you read my posts and it was all like written like an essay, it's definitely not me that's written it because I don't talk like that. And if it's not fun, and I've got somebody at the moment actually that's helping me with some email marketing, and she sent me some drafts of emails that she thought I should send. And then 5 minutes later, before I'd even had a chance to review them, she messaged me back and was like, oh, sorry, I forgot to put the emojis in, because everything that I write has got an overabundance of emojis in it. Yeah. Because I like them. I think they accurately depict how I'm feeling while I'm writing that. So if you see posts from me that don't have emojis in them, I'm either in a really bad mood or somebody else has written it for me. And it's that sort of thing that helps us connect with our clients, because they appreciate the language that we're using because we sound like ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. And ChatGPT posts, you can read them a mile off. So, you know, ChatGPT is great for information ideas. Please don't copy and paste ChatGPT because you can read it a mile off. Yeah. It's just like, oh, and when you know who you're talking to as well, you don't need ChatGPT. It's great for coming out ideas, but when you're writing your posts and that as well, you know, with regards to competitive analysis, if you're you, you're already standing out from them because you're being you as well. So that's one of the, you know, that's why people are going to come to you. That's why people follow you, because you are you. So, you know, look at how they're writing it. Do they sound very clinical? Do they sound very jargon? Does it sound like ChatGPT has written it? As long as you're addressing the goals, because, we're getting over that negativity and, you know, the pain points that you know, we're focused on negativity too much now. So going forward as well, we're focusing on outcomes and goals. So you need, you know, what your competitors doing, are they still focusing on the pain points, the negativity? You know, that's outdated marketing now. We're moving forward. We're focusing on the positive. We want to get them in the right frame of mind, in their goals, their dreams, and then they'll read the rest of it. So, you know, is your competitor doing that still? You know, you're one step ahead. So it's just using the words they use. So whereas people say, oh, you know, you've got a lovely, do a nice pretty post on Canva, I'll tell you, don't spew all over your posts with Canva posts, because it just looks crap and the same as everyone else. So it's about, you know, when everyone is using these same words and sentences and telling the same educational posts, because, you know, at the end of the day, there's so many of us, we've all given the same information. How can you give it with a twist? So I'll sit down and think, what resonates with them, and, you know, make it sound like me. So I'm quite blunt. So I'll just say, like the other day when TikTok and everything went down, everyone's Instagram was shit. I proposed that your Instagram looks shit now. So what? You know, so what? You know, you can't do anything. You're going to sit there really and tidy up all those pictures. You really going to sit there and change all your pictures? That's not important. Do you know what I mean? And then I did a post about building your email list, and then I had messages of people who I haven't spoken to in months, who I spoken to in DMs previously. I DM everyone I follow just to say thanks for the follow. I try to build relationships with my audience. So people I hadn't spoken to, so like in April, came out of the woodworks and were messaging me, how can I set up my email list?
Cool.
You know, it's your language, it's your humanity, it's what's important. And that's what people are looking and following for, just being you, authentically you. And if you're struggling, share it. You can't get any more human than that.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the, I think the Instagram example there is a good, that's a good example, because the amount of people that I have seen that have made posts over the weekend about the fact that Instagram's changed its, the way that it looks and the way the feed, so there's no square posts and feeds anymore, in case anyone that listening was living under a rock this weekend. Everything's in portrait mode now. And I've seen so many posts about it. And actually, none of the posts that I saw said what you've just said, which is, who cares? It was, you need to be doing this, or if you've already been following me, your posts will already look like this. And actually, I didn't see anyone that just said, and everybody's profile has been affected. Yeah. Like, if yours looks, if you think yours looks bad, so does everybody else's. So it's really not that big a deal. I think if it was just happened to one person, it might have been slightly different, but everyone's in the same boat. But yeah, your take on it there of, does it really matter? Because it was, that was so different, that's going to stand out, which is why you then got comments and messages from lots of people.
But like, that's where you go thinking your competition. Everyone is banging on about Instagram, so there's 1,000 people telling you the same thing. I don't give a shit. Do you know what I mean? I've seen it once, I've now seen it 1,000 times. I'm bored. Can someone not tell us about it differently, or not? I know it's a theme, but everyone is jumping on it, so you're not going to stand out and get seen. So I was just like, well, you know, you should be like, in my trainings as well, I always tell people, you need to be building that email list. You need to be focusing on that. This can happen anytime. There's just an example, you know, with TikTok, you know that's different. It's affected people in a different way. They've lost their businesses and that, but you know, it's now rectangular instead of square. Oh well,
not the end of the world.
I'm still posting, you know. Oh well.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I think standing out, I think the key to everything that we've said is to be yourself. Like, the more there's only one of you, so the more yourself that you can be, you will naturally just stand out from other people anyway, because it's going to have, everything that you do is going to have your personality in it. It's going to have your style. I was talking to a branding expert this morning, actually, about branding, funnily enough, because she's a branding expert. And I was sort of saying, she was asking me what I felt about my brand. And I think my brand needs work. I'm not a branding expert. I'm not super creative. But the one thing everybody always points out is that everything is yellow. Mm-hmm. So even if I had multiple brand pictures and different posts with kind of different styles on it, everything ties together because it's yellow, because that's the one thing that I know will help people recognize that it's a post of mine. And it's those little things that really make a difference when it comes to connecting to your audience. Because if there's one thing I can guarantee, that I'll walk into a room or an event and somebody will come up to me and say, I know you because you're wearing yellow, and they'll know it's me, and they'll be like, hi Lixie, it's great to actually meet you in person. And it's because I'm unapologetically yellow, and I don't mind that everything is yellow, and people might have a problem with that, but I don't.
No, I like yellow, and it's also the you know, it symbolizes as well, doesn't it? Like, I've got lots of colors, but I focus on my green in my brand, and I like green, but I need to get a green top, so I wore blue. Yeah. Just to look, because I like to come, I like to show up, I put my face on because I like to, you know, I'm in front of someone else's audience. You know, I don't wear it all the time. I've been swimming today for a walk, so obviously I had goggle eyes earlier. So if we'd recorded earlier, I would have had goggle eyes. But it's more like, I like to show up for the effort, but I don't like look like this all the time. I've got a kid, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't go into, so I'll do it when I'm doing things like this. I'll make the effort, but most, you know, I've got makeup on it in most of it. But again, with your branding, people forget as well things like your mission, your vision, your values. You are your brand, so how are you different to your competition? What are their values? That's something else which you can analyze as well and use as well as part of your competitor analysis. So, and that's really important as well when you're starting out. A lot of people don't use them, but push your values across as well, and your values might be different to theirs. They might align differently, and that's part of your competitor analysis as well, because that's your branding, and that's something else that you need to bring into it.
Yeah, definitely. It's those
underlying brand aspects that help you stand out. Like your brand isn't just your branding. It's not just the imagery and how you look and that sort of thing. It's the tone in which you talk and the values that you share and the way that you do business. All of those things make up your brand as a whole and your business as a whole. And we want people to know what it is that we care about. Like, why are you running your business? What is it about your business that makes it special? Is it that you want to earn more money so that you can take your family on more holidays? Or is it that you want to make more impact so that you can help more women be more successful, which is what the mission of my business, just in case anyone didn't know. And it's sharing those things that helps kind of your brand resonate with your ideal client, because they probably care about those things too.
Yeah, it's like with me, I'm very straight talking. If I don't say it, my face says it, so I can't help that. That's just me. But that's through, like, 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been me. That's just for me learning, do you know what? I don't give a shit about the things that don't matter. I focus on the things that matter, and I block out what doesn't matter. If it doesn't serve me, I'm not doing it. I had to learn that the hard way. I went through, you know, bad relationships, breakups. I learned that the hard way. So, you know, that is a lot of fight and flight in me, which I am working on. But, you know, I'm straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I saw a post the other day, actually, that reminds me of what you've just said about yourself. And it was something along the lines of, I'm straight talking, but I tried to keep my mouth shut so that I don't share my opinions, but my face is like a giant subtitle, which I thought was really funny. Yeah.
Like, people say something and I might not agree, but my face probably doesn't hide it. Like, I can't, you know, we just gotta, it just come from a place of learning to say no and speak up and speak out. But sometimes I probably got to try and train it a bit better, but, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So for people listening, I think we've covered kind of why looking at your competitors is so important, and also why not comparing yourself to them is equally important. We want to understand them. We don't want to emulate them. We don't want to do everything that they're doing, because then we would just be another fish in a very large pond. And we want to be something that's not supposed to be in water, like, I don't know, a dog. We want to be the dog in the water instead of the fish. That was a really poor analogy, but hopefully you get what I mean. So let's say we've got people listening that are thinking, actually, I've never done any competitive research. I don't know what my competitors are doing. I'm just sort of plodding along doing my thing. Where do we start? Like, what's the first thing I can take away today and go and do in terms of looking at my competitors?
So obviously it's knowing your niche, because you need to know who your competitors are in your niche. So it goes back as really early on as well, when we said about competition over collaboration. You know, there might be people in your niche. So, you know, niches are very broad. So there might be other people in your niche. It's a broad niche. They do something else. So that's where you can look at collaborating as well. But so it's obviously knowing your niche, and then it's looking at what are their offers. What's their unique selling point? So for me, it was, I built my coaching business in my car. I've even had my professional photos done in my car, on the steering wheel, and I've had my professional photos done in my car, because that's my brand and that's how I built my business. I stand out because of that. I used to do it. I take my son to the bus in the morning, then I would do a video before work. When I pick him up from school, I'd sit in the car park. That's my USP. So what's your unique selling point? What is your story? Why are you different? So look at their stories. You know, a lot of us don't like talking about ourselves, but you need to be able to do that. I find I'm boring, but obviously I need to talk about myself for other people to know more about me. So it's basically, so look at their offers. As well, how is yours different? Is there something that you want to do in your niche which you research, which someone else isn't doing? Like, I found when I started doing the market research and I started doing the competitor analysis offer, I hadn't seen that. Do you know what I mean? Because I think people know to do it in the background, but there's so much we keep secret, and we need to be sharing this information to help others. But also to help yourself as well, because, and then by showing other people how to do it as well, they can then go further in it. So it's your niche, so look at what they do. Are you doing exactly the same as it? How can you be different? How are you different so that they're going to come and buy from you? Your prices, are they higher? Are they lower? what's your reasoning behind it? So the offer, is there something, a gap in your niche which they're not covering, which you've discovered in your research? So, you know, it all goes down to the market research as well, but also your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities, threats as well. Mm-hmm. The threats are like what's just happened with Instagram and TikTok. That's a big example. So yeah. your strengths could be, you've already got an email list. They might be new. They might not have a lead magnet on email list because they're new to the niche and they haven't got to that point yet in their business. So you do compare analysis on yourself as well as your businesses, because again, like when you're doing a new offer, if you're pivoting in your niche, you always need to be doing research whenever you're doing something else to make sure it's what the audience wants. Your competitors might not have even done. A lot of people guess. They think, oh, this sounds good. I think it's what my audience likes. And then make programs. And that's where a lot of people make mistakes. I did as well. I thought, oh, everything's in all these masterminds. I'll make it because it's great. And I know that's what they're going to like. But I didn't actually research it. So obviously, needless to say, I didn't get very far. Whereas when I've pivoted, changed my direction, you know, I've done all the research. I speak to people all the time. I'm in coaching groups. I go to networking events. So, and you know, my story resonates because when I stand up and do my elevator pitch, I stand up and tell them I built my business in the car, and they remember that, not what I'm pitching, because they remember me. So it's really digging for your unique selling points. What gaps are there that they're missing, and why, writing down all the best bits about you as well, because, you know, a business is 95% mindset. So it's writing down all your best bits about you as well.
Mm-hmm. I like this. It's definitely making me rethink some of my story, because I don't think I share my story enough. Like you said, I get bored of talking about it, but like, if you remember that most of your audience only sees like 1 in 10 post. Mm-hmm. If you haven't posted about your story in the last 2 weeks, let's say, the likelihood is your audience hasn't seen it and therefore have forgotten everything about you. Yeah. So you need to constantly be talking about it.
Well, if you have new followers, they want to know who they're following as such.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you've got new ones coming in all the time. So yeah, this is definitely prompting me to go back and share some of my story, and also lessons that, like, things that I do in my business now because of the story that I've got. So I was divorced at 23 after leaving an emotionally abusive marriage. And one thing that did was make me really good at sales, because one of the biggest negatives that I think people have towards sales is the fear of rejection and fear of failure. But there is no bigger failure than getting divorced a year after you got married. And I think that's one of the reasons that I don't get super phased while selling, that someone's going to say no, because I've already had the biggest failure. And I think that's something I should probably share more in my marketing, which I don't talk about enough, but this has definitely prompted me to think about my story in that way, like what's interesting about my story and why should people care about it.
Definitely, because it brings people in, because there might be people in your audience, they've been through a divorce and their confidence is knocked. It might not be fear of rejection, but it's that automatically they automatically connect with you as well. So like in my stories I share a lot, because I've got my son, I've got a partner, but because of his work hours, I do most of the lion's share. But I was a single mum till he was 8 as well. So I've literally done it all as well. So like every day he's got hobbies, I've got hobbies. So, you know, I share that in the story. So people say, like, you know, I don't stop, you know, but it's relatable as well. I'm not superhuman. I'm not a millionaire. I did a business. It was shit because I didn't know what I was doing. I quit my job then in the summer because I was in a position I was able to, and I've now focused on all those mistakes I've made in a new niche. So, you know, whereas I battled day in, day out for over a year and got fuck all, basically, I've turned that around, and the stuff I'm saying now compared to where I was, I'm already flown much further than I was over all those steps. Because as well, I've taken myself away from the outcome as well. I'm just showing up as me, and it's obviously coming out across more natural and less forced as well. So I think, because I'm just posting it as me and just like what I think people want to hear, and just post that, you know, like some of my carousels are like, what the fuck's a niche? Do you know what I mean? Because that's how we talk, you know, what the fuck do I do? How do I start? I have a fucking clue. You know, that's what we think, isn't it? So I try to post what we think, what I think. And, I did a post about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I talked a little bit about like how I started. I hadn't done anything for a while because I just couldn't think, because a lot of imposter syndrome, and you know how I started it and didn't do well in business, and the amount of likes and stuff and messages I had off that, and so many people saying I needed to hear this today. So it just shows, you know, we need to share. I've had a shit day. I've struggled because of imposter syndrome. I've struggled because of this. I've struggled because I'm overthinking everything, you know. So I have been sharing all of that because it's normal. Was I wouldn't have a year ago, because I would have thought I need to look like this perfect coach.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. I'm not perfect. I'm human.
Yeah, definitely. And it just makes us seem, ungenuine. If we have a good day, or like, I'm a really positive person. Like, generally, I do have a good day most of the time. But I also live with 4 chronic pain conditions. So there are days when I don't want to get out of bed. And I used to not share those days because I don't like talking about my pain. I don't want my pain to take over my life. But also because, like you said, it made me feel like I was less of a coach because I was having bad days. And thankfully, I've gotten over that now. And I talk about it all. Now I probably talk about it too much and people are probably sick of hearing about my pain. But it's a really big part of my life. And if I didn't share, it'd be really inauthentic of me, because I'm missing a huge chunk of my life out of the business that I'm running.
Yeah, completely. And you know, and it might be someone else in the situation. They might be saying, look, you're doing this with the pain, and it's giving them motivation. Do you know what? I can try it. You know, even as part-time, if it's only making me a little bit of money, it's something that is more than I had before. And it's giving you freedom. And you know, for some people, they might be able to do it and leave a job which is making their pain worse or their mental health worse, because you've given them that motivation to go for it and show that you can do it even if you've got chronic pain or these conditions.
Yeah, which is my hope. So I'm hoping there are people that have been watching me that now feel like they can do things even though they've got chronic pain. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been so nice chatting to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. My key takeaways from today would be to beware of your competition. Collaboration is absolutely key when it comes to building success within our businesses, but that doesn't negate the fact that there are competitors in the world of business, and we need to know what they're doing, what our clients are attracted to, so that we can make sure that we're the choice that our clients are going to make moving forwards. So do your research, your market research, into your clients, into your competitors, into the landscape, so that you can make sure you are at the forefront of your customer's mind. The second takeaway from today would be to be your true, authentic self in everything that you do. I've talked about this before, but not being yourself is exhausting and it's not sustainable, but also being yourself is the way that you're going to attract the best clients into your business, because there is only you. You are unique. There's only one person that is you. And that is what's going to attract your clients to you and for them to come back time and time again. And my third key takeaway from today would be to make sure that you're using wording and language and marketing that your ideal client resonates with. Talk about the problems that they're having, that you have survived yourself, so that they can see that you understand what it is they're going through, and that you're the right person to help them on that transformation to get them to where they want to go. But thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you next time.